אנחנו קוראים מתוך
We are reading excerpts about Between the Straits, excerpt number 16, from the introduction of Malchut to the Gate of Introductions, excerpt number 16. The young said, when I was 30 at strength, I was fatigued. I was sitting, bewildering, and my thoughts wandered, for the harvest passed. The summer was over, and we were not saved. There was no remedy to our disease, nor cure to our flesh for the destruction of our temple, which was ruined today in the year of 500 years ago. Alas, for one day of the Creator, which is 1,000 years, and also the shadows of the night, which are 504 years more than the half of the second day. All the ends have perished, and the Son of David did not come. And what our sages said is known. Every generation in which the temple wasn't built in its days, it is as if it was ruined in its days. And I shall investigate and know what it means and why our end and exile is in length and why the Messiah of Son of David did not come.
This is the question. What does it mean every day that the temple was not built? It's as though it is ruined. That's first. That's the question. Go ahead. Quickly and...
It seems to me that it means that every day we weren't able to build a kli, a vessel, in which the Creator can be revealed, then we add it to the shattering.
There's no static state in spirituality. If we're not accelerating, we're descending.
It means that if we do not correct the connections between us and make such efforts, then we retreat, and if we do not add to it.
Yeah, because we get the right to choose every moment anew, certainly every day. Now we also see it in through the tens. We each time have a right to choose, and the scale depends on us to build the lack of above the desire. And if we haven't, then the default state is that the will to receive overpowers and the day is gone.
The distance between our intentions to the Creator's quality points out to the intensity of the shattering. Every day we don't make an effort to change our intention, to change our longing to be like the Creator, and we don't glue everyone else into it. At least inside of me, it intensifies the magnitude of the shattering.
The press of development is rolling, the machine is working, the hourglass of Oviut always drips on the scale. And if we don't add on the other side, then in due time.
It's like we've heard the first part of the lesson. We need to exert ourselves, which is against our desire. We have to evoke, to awaken the light that reforms. And this is the reality that we have to live in, against our desire, above our nature.
Yeah, every day there is an opportunity to build the temple here between us. And if we haven't built it, meaning that it's an opportunity that was given to us from above to move towards correction, it wasn't realized, and it was ruined, and that was optimal. And it's something we should really try to put into our hearts. There are these sentences, you know, every day that goes away and never comes back. Here, it's truly critical. There's a great loss. Rav. Okay, so from the time of Ari onwards, there is the obligation to correct the shattering, and since then, not before, we can already count the years the many years in which we are already falling behind in correction. And every day that the correction doesn't happen, it adds to the shattering. Worse and worse desires arise, which we had to correct already, and connect above them, and we don't yet do it. So certainly, the burdening increases. Next.
Excerpt number 17 from the Gates of Sanctity by Abraham Chub. Our sages said, the hatred of the created beings removes a person from the world, and he supposedly hates the Creator for having created him. It is written, in the second temple there were righteous and great sages, and it was ruined only because of unfounded hatred, and the end did not disappear only because of unfounded hatred. Moreover, the rest of the iniquities are at the time being, but unfounded hatred is always in one's heart, and every moment he is passing, you shall not hate, and canceling the mitzvah of you shall do, love thy friend as thyself. Moreover, it was said about that mitzvah that this is the great rule in the Torah, which all depends on it. And Moshe was rewarded with all his merits only because he loved Israel and regretted their sorrow, as the sages have said about, and he saw their sufferings, and on the verse, and now if you will remove their sins, and if not, destroy me. And therefore he was measured against all of Israel.
How does it happen that we hate the Creator? What are the reasons that a person seemingly hates the Creator? Please.
It seems to me that the main reason is the fact that the Creator is completely opposite from you. And the more he is in your reality, it means that your vessels, your present vessels of reception, must suffer. They must live in darkness.
Yeah, it's opposite to any natural instinct of the person, which is to receive as much as possible with as minimum as possible effort. And the Creator is the exact opposite quality.
And there's one reason for it. The Creator himself, who created us in such a way which is opposite from him. Our whole life, our whole perception, our whole existence, we feel something which is completely opposite and separated from him.
Right, how can we not hate the Creator? Naturally, in terms of the desire, the Creator is exactly opposite the quality of bestowal. If you begin to understand what it is, it immediately awakens hatred. But when you hold on to him with 20 hands, that's already a totally different thing. Only when a person exits himself, there can be something opposite to hatred of the Creator.
Yeah, hatred to the Creator is like Niv said. It is arranged this way by the Creator. The Creator arranged the system in such a way that the created being will reveal the gap, and out of this gap will develop longing and love for the created being out of lack of choice. And then he will be able to reveal the Creator. There's a matter of development, change that is necessitated. The system has to cause the creature to constantly change. And if he was created in a complete state, he wouldn't have been called a created being.
Well, certainly the reason is the Creator himself, who awakens the feeling and recognition that he is completely enslaved, completely dependent on him, both in terms of the will to receive and the will to bestow.
The will to receive within a person, he is the one who hates the Creator. It's a very beautiful recognition. that you can see from the side that your ornate, that your whole nature, your whole essence hates your nature.
Yeah, he hates the revelation of the Creator through the friends. That's what he truly hates. And here, if he is tied correctly, then something comes from somewhere and reminds him that he's dealing with the Creator. And then the attitude changes out of fear, but it changes.
Except number 18, Baal HaSulam, letter 60. There was a precondition that was given before the reception of the Torah. However, afterwards, from the time the calf was made, the package was separated, because wars were made, and the sons of Levi killed by the words of God 3,000 men. Later on came the complaints about Moshe and Aaron and the spies, and of course all those who did not add love and unity. Later, when they entered the land, there was no rest as well. And therefore, there was no place to expect that anyone should keep this main commandment. But in order that the Torah will not be forgotten from Israel, they began to engage in other mitzvot, even though they neglected the main point, because they had no other choice. Perhaps this is what the sages meant when they expounded on the destruction of the Second Temple, that there was no idolatry there, and that they were well versed in the Torah. And why was it destroyed? They said, because of unfounded hatred. Perhaps they meant that they were unable to engage in the primary building of the Torah, which is love your friend as yourself.
So, what does it mean that the package was separated? What does that mean? That first it was well tied together, stabilized, and then it disintegrated.
I don't know what it means that the package was separated, but he wrote before
when it held by that main mitzvah. He doesn't say what it is, but then he says it's by love thy friend as thyself. Meaning the package is the group, the people, the nation, the connection between everyone, which was by accepting the condition of love thy friend as thyself, and that held them together until they stopped maintaining it. And when they stopped, the package was separated. And he calls that the main mitzvah, the great rule of the Torah. Please talk about it.
Well, probably the package was separated. Well, when you stop exerting in connection, you start exerting, making an effort to build the tent, to build a group, and then you have nothing that holds this concept of tent, of group together in the air. And we have to maintain that.
Meaning the condition of the reception of the Torah didn't happen because the Avut didn't happen.
And this package, it's not that it broke down once, rather every time it continues and distance all its pieces, distance from each other. And every moment you don't make an effort in thought, desire, and action towards the connection. And in the feeling, desire for connection, then in practice it increases consciously or unconsciously this separation.
Yeah, when we held the Creator with 20 hands, and then we suddenly got another desire, and even just one hand leaving it, it's a hole in the boat. It's 19 instead of 20 hands, and you have to rebuild everything.
Well, I'm responsible for this screw up, not you, definitely. Well, the thing is, well, we see in the Creator a source of pleasure, but we miss out His quality, the quality of love and bestowal. Our ego doesn't want to hear about it, that we need to change, become like Him to justify and love the friends.
Rav, why does love thy friend as thyself is the main mitzvah, the great rule of the Torah, that the whole Torah come to us in order to maintain that rule only. And if we carry it out, we carry out the Torah. And if we don't carry it out, we don't carry out the Torah. And therefore comes the ruin and the exile, etc. So why does love thy friend as thyself is the great rule of the Torah?
Because the way to reach the realization of the goal, adhesion with the Creator to bestow, it's only through this buffer, only through something that enables us the ability to separate the kelim.
Because to begin with, there is a shattering, and there is no connection at all between the others. And the goal of creation is to connect that.
Practically speaking, I think when you are engaged in trying to benefit others on the one hand, and on the other hand, you receive their attempts to benefit you, that is the thing holding you together inside the thought about the Creator, the Ten, correction, what else you can do. There is nothing so efficient as that. I'm talking from experience.
Love thy neighbor. What's special about this rule is that it includes everything. It includes everything Rabash writes about the work in the group, what needs to be implemented, and certainly, if we leave that, then we cannot continue to carry out the Torah. And to carry it out, you need the light of the Torah to shine on us and allow us to make such actions towards each other.
Yeah, love thy friend as thyself. This is the law of the Creator. This is why it is the main rule. We constantly want to become closer and closer to Him, to that law. This is why it is the main commandment. It includes everything, and if we come to observe it, then we resemble the Creator.
Exactly. That's the action that leads to the purpose of adhesion. One and the same. Rav, why is the Creator called love? Please.
Why the Creator is called love? Because He gives us the most precious thing in the world, the ability to resemble Him. There is nothing greater in reality than that. He broke this single kli called Nishmat Adam HaRishon. He broke it into many pieces, in depth, heights, different places and distances, and we can work only on that love, on that equality between us in order to reach adhesion with Him. And in exchange, He gives us different depth of it. The additional desires so that we'll be able to love Him more and more. And that leaves us in dependency to become like Him, to truly adhere to Him. To adhere to Him means to have the same quality as His.
It's just His quality, the quality of love and bestowal.
Except number 19, Ba'al HaSulam, this is for Yehuda. Ba'al HaSulam. All the letters of redemption are present in exile, except for the Aleph, since this letter indicates the Alufo, champion of the world. This teaches us that the form of the absence is but the negation of the presence. And we know the form of the presence, redemption, from the verse and they shall teach you no more every man his neighbor, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. Hence, the form of the previous absence, meaning the form of exile, is only the absence of the knowledge of the Lord. This is the absence of the Aleph, which is missing in Gola, exile, and present in the Geula, redemption, the Dvekut, adhesion with the champion of the world. This is precisely the redemption of our souls, no more and no less. As we have said, that all the letters of Geula, redemption, are present in Gola, exile, but the Aleph, which is the champion of the world.
So, what is that letter Aleph, the champion of the world? What's written, they shall all know me? Know what? The letter Aleph? Please. What does it mean to know the Lord?
To be in a state where you can ascribe everything, every moment that is, was, will be to there's none else besides Him, the good and benevolent.
Well, that's our main work, which is working above the feeling and working inside the environment.
Yeah, these are the efforts to equalize the form with the quality of bestowal, which means in practice to make an effort in this attitude of love, a corrected attitude of love, which is unconditional love between the friends.
Also, making of ourselves a kli that has the power to relate the reality to the Creator in every moment, not to identify with the desire, but with who's giving me what is in front of me.
It means to demand the connection with the Creator throughout this whole process of building the kli, where eventually He is the one building the kli.
What does it mean to know the Creator? To know the Creator means to demand adhesion in every moment and know that we have all the conditions for it to happen and nothing's lacking besides the request.
Yeah, He's one, He's good and benevolent, and we hold on to Him with 20 hands, and we feel that they accept number 20, Rabash, what is when Israel are in exile, the Shekhinah is with them in the work, accept number 20. When we speak of exile in relation to the Creator, it is only from the perspective of the creatures. That is, it is according to the attainment of the creatures that there is the matter of exile and redemption. Sometimes they perceive the Creator as a great king dwelling in His palace, with seraphim and animals and wheels of holiness standing around Him. And sometimes they perceive Him as a king who has been exiled from His palace, captive under the rule of another king. This is regarded as the king being in exile. Accordingly, we should interpret that the people of Israel went out of the land of Israel and the temple was ruined. In the work, we should interpret that the people of Israel went out and did not feel the flavor of Torah and mitzvot, and their heart, which was a place for feeling the Kedusha, sanctity, called the temple, that place was ruined. The other king, called an old and foolish king, conquered their hearts and took all the kelim of Kedusha out of there. This means that he took out all the thoughts of Kedusha that they had in their hearts and instead instilled an idol in the palace of the Lord. That is, where previously there was Kedusha, he took out all the thoughts of Kedusha Work dusha means thoughts for the sake of the Creator. Yet He conquered their hearts and installed in their hearts thoughts that are only about their own benefit. This is regarded as a foolish old king conquering the temple and exiling Israel from within it. That is, the quality of Israel is no longer in their bodies. This is as it is written, God, the nations have come into you, your inheritance. They have defiled the temple of your holiness, laid Jerusalem in ruins. That is, the quality of Israel departed from their hearts, and in their stead came Gentiles.
Rav, what do we attain from the Creator destroying the temple and exiling us? What do we and the whole of humanity attain out of that state?
Out of exile and shattering and the ruin of the temple, we attain the understanding and recognition of what the Creator accepts us to do and what He created the world for. We realize our necessity for connection and why we should look at the entire reality through our friends.
We acquire the ability to come to integration with the thought of creation by shattering, cracking this whole system and putting them in front of me as friends that I have to regroup and collect into that structure of wholeness once again. And by that we acquire that one unique and unified thought.
It built in us the distance, the separation, and we're brought to a point where we have to, upon this distance and separation, to make an effort to connect and eventually to reach a true prayer, which is the connection with the upper force.
What was the question? I lost it. By the ruin, what? Well, we have the ability now to rebuild it anew. Without it, we'd have no urge to build it. We'd have no ability to resemble the Creator.
Exit number 21. Letter 76, Rabash, Volume 2. Our sages said about the verse, "Who is the wise man that may understand this? Why is the land ruined?" Rav Yehuda said, Rav said that they did not bless in the Torah first. The Ran introduces there in the name of our Rav Jonah, and this is his words. This verse is accurate. The land was lost because they did not bless in the Torah first. If it says, because they left my law, literally, that they had left the Torah and did not engage in it. When we ask the sages and the prophets why they did not interpret it, for it is revealed and easy to interpret, they certainly always engage in Torah. This is why the sages and the prophets were perplexed by why was the land ruined. Finally, the Creator Himself explained it. He knows the depth of the heart that they did not bless in the Torah first. That is, the Torah was not important enough to them that it would be worth blessing, meaning they did not engage in it in Lishma, and therefore slighted its blessing. Thus far his words. This means that the study of Torah and observing the mitzvot is primarily in order to draw the disclosure of the light of his face downward. This is regarded as the light in it reforms him, which appears through the choice and when engaging in Lishma for her sake. At that time, what Rabbi Meir said comes true. The secrets of Torah are revealed to he who learns Torah in Lishma. This is regarded as his kinship appearing below. And this is the meaning of do them as though you are making me.
So, what does it mean to bless for the Torah first? This is very known that the ruin was made because the Torah wasn't blessed first.
Probably it means that they didn't implement between them the work of connection, and the reward they were looking for was for their own benefit instead of aiming themselves to the benefit of the Creator.
Yeah, to bless in the Torah first is basically to prepare for drawing the light. Even though the intention is not right at the beginning for sure, we have to want it to be correct.
To bless for the Torah first, it means that as we sit in a workshop and we're asking ourselves, why are we sitting here for? And we enter the lesson, and what do we want from all these actions?
Yeah, specifically us who work on connection all our lives, we know how challenging and difficult it is and how a new threshold of connection needs to be set each time and how much we need the blessing from above to make that connection possible. So if we don't look for that blessing to make it possible, then what do we need the Torah for? What's it for?
Excerpt number 22, Baal HaSulam, Fruit of the Wise, Divine Words. This I heard from my teacher. When the temple was ruined, immediately did Rabbi Akiva tell his students, the temple is ruined, as though this was nothing of consequence. Let us resume our studies. And I think the interpretation of these holy words is apparent. As this divine man, Rabbi Akiva, was always teaching his students that blessed are you Israel, for before whom it is that you are purified, and so on. But they did not apply these teachings as they should have, and so they perished during the days of the counting, until Rabbi Akiva came to Arab rabbis in the south to teach them. And then they heard it themselves, meaning they saw with their own eyes for whom it is that they are purifying themselves and who is purifying them. This explains why when the temple was ruined, he told it to them as if it was of no consequence, and go out and learn from whom you purify and who purifies you, as these things require much pursuit, and thus there is nothing for you now other than to clarify your mind for this study.
So how do we learn who do we purify and who purifies us? How can we define it with a few sentences? To whom do we purify and who purifies us? Go ahead.
There is none else besides him. There is a single force of bestowal who built and destroyed the temple. We work with him.
I don't know, it continues the previous passage and also the previous question, that place where we have to bless first. In front of whom do we purify? We don't know. From greatness and lack of perception, no perception, but that place where we establish the gratitude and joy from the opportunity that we have to do it needs to give us the feeling, the ability of who do we come to purify before and who purifies us.
Everyone sitting in this study hall reaches a state that he understands that this world is governed by an upper force and he wants to connect with it. He came to learn how to understand the laws and what is required from each and every one, each and every second, because there is something which is above our mind, above my emotion.
Yeah, we purify before that force of nature, the Creator, and who purifies us is our work. It's more what than who. It's our work towards the friends, the continuous efforts to acquire to their hearts. That's what causes that act of purification.
Whoever purifies us, that is the light of the Creator. This is what purifies us, that light that reforms. And it happens when we make actions which are against our desire, which are done coercively. In everything which is against your nature, above your nature, and as much as you do it, you can come closer to the nature of the Creator.
We want to be purified before the Creator and that He will purify us. And the means for that is the ten, the friends, the group.
Yeah. Whoever purifies us, moving on to the next part of the lesson.